Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Golden Frequency Radio. I am Beth Ann Carr, intuitive quantum healer, here with my friend, teacher, and co-host, Eric Rains. Hi, Eric. Eric is the alchemical engineer behind unleashingnaturalhumanity.com and the etheric parasite and implant removal protocol that we both utilize in sessions with our clients. More information about this work can be found at unleashingnaturalhumanity.com. Well, my goodness, I apologize, having some technical difficulties here. Good evening and welcome to Golden Frequency Radio. I am Beth Ann Carr, intuitive quantum healer, here with my friend, teacher, and co-host, Eric Rains. Hi, Eric. Oh, well, he's not quite with us yet. Eric is the alchemical engineer behind unleashingnaturalhumanity.com and the etheric parasite and implant removal protocol that we both utilize in sessions with our clients. More information about this work can be found at unleashingnaturalhumanity.com, as well as the Facebook page, Unleashing Natural Humanity. I would like to extend a special thank you to Ariadne Sassafras of sassmavendigitalmedia.com for making this show possible with her digital expertise. I would also like to thank our chat room moderator for this evening, Dylan Ross. Please feel free to post questions there, and we will do our best to answer them. Also, a great big thank you to our audience, those listening live and those listening later to the archived recording. Let's all take a moment now to set our intention for tonight's show as being in alignment with the highest good for all, providing support and answers to those in need. Tonight's discussion is about the shadow aspect of self and how to alchemically transmute it through going into the heart of darkness and facing the traumas, patterns, and programs head on with the intention to take responsibility for healing and reprogramming ourselves. We are able to fully integrate the shadow to dispel the war and division within. Transmutation of the shadow is foundational preparation for the work of bringing an end to the parasitic construct running amok on our planet. Ending the war within is a salient step to ending the war without. Also, we will be taking calls the last 30 minutes of the show. And it looks like we're still having some trouble connecting with Eric. And I do apologize. Please stand by just one moment. Well, as to be expected, we're having a little bit of interference and technical difficulties here. Hopefully, we will get it together. Eric is having trouble calling in, and so I'm just going to wait for him to try to manage that. Looks like Blog Talk Radio is having some difficulty with connecting through Skype, and so we're all just sort of trying to work out how to call in here. I'm going to be silent for just a moment as I send Eric one more number that he can try. Okay, and as we're waiting for Eric to call in here, well, let's see if we had anyone else lined up in the on the switchboard, then we could take a call while we're waiting. Again, I do apologize. So this is our first official show. We had a beta test show last week where we were hoping to be able to iron out all of these technical difficulties and kinks in broadcasting, but we're going to roll with it. Oh, good. Here we go. Let's see. Hi, Eric. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. That's okay. A few minor technical difficulties in the first, couple of minutes of the show, but we're doing really well. Aside from that, I'm sure that since you weren't on the line, you weren't able to hear my introduction. And I just went through a basic introduction about what it is that we're going to be talking about tonight. And I would like to maybe get into some definitions for the listening audience, because I know these big words, words like shadow and alchemy and transmutation can, they're kind of umbrella terms to some extent. And so I think that people can find those somewhat confusing. But I would like to give, before I go into definitions, I'd like to give you an opportunity to just sort of introduce yourself a little bit, or introduce the topic for tonight, transmuting the shadow, from your own perspective.
Definitely. Okay, so alchemical transmutation of the shadow. Let's break this down here. So alchemical transmutation, that's the process of turning something into another type of a substance. Like when we think of alchemy, we think about the old alchemists in the past trying to figure out ways to turn lead into gold. Pretty much that's what we're doing here, but we're doing it on an emotional and an energetic level here. We're taking things that are dark and heavy, and we're turning it into bright and airy, and it's a complete reversal of the polarity. That's the alchemical transmutation right there. The internal shadow work that we're doing, this is the world, everybody has got a lot of inner demons inside of them. There's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with on multiple levels. This right here is going and diving into the emotional work, the shadow work inside of people. So say for instance that you have a person who is constantly in a negative thought frame, that they're always thinking about things on a negative perspective, things that are always bad that's happening to them. They never really look for the good in the life. It's the world conspiring against them. And this is the transmutation that we're talking about. We're talking about the darkness inside of the human soul. We're talking about the energetic causes that, happen to manifest these types of things, and how to actually alchemically transmute them inside of yourself.
Right. Yeah. So I actually did jot down, I kind of took some notes in order to define these terms. So I think I'll just go through some of those notes, those defining terms, and then we can really sort of launch into the discussion. Because like I said, the terms themselves can be fundamentally confusing. And I actually remember sort of early on in my process really needing to look these terms up and read various definitions of the terms. So what is the shadow self? The term was coined by psychiatrist Carl Jung as the unknown dark side of our personality, perceived as dark both because it tends to be identified predominantly as the primitive, negative, socially unvalued emotions and impulses, such as selfishness, greed, weakness, envy, anger, rage, whatever we deem evil, inferior, or unacceptable, and deny within ourselves. And according to a Jungian analyst by the name of Aniela Jaffe, I believe is how you pronounce her last name, the shadow is the sum of all personal and collective psychic elements which, because of their incompatibility with the chosen conscious attitude, are denied expression in life. So these are the aspects of ourselves that we tend to lock in the room of shame deep within ourselves in the hope that this will destroy them, which is where they exist in the trauma and pain ruts, generally sort of seeming to sabotage us in various ways as they seek healing and integration, which is, this really gets into the sort of duality aspect of having a light and a dark side. And then as you described alchemy, in the dictionary, it's the precursor to chemistry, most notably transforming lead into gold And in a broader term, it's the transmutation of something without value into something with value. So spiritual alchemy is really the grand transformation of oneself through open-hearted introspection, objective observation, you know, through the lens of non-conditional self-love. It's really a rediscovering of one's deeper nature as a multidimensional source spark. So, and I think transmutation and alchemy are probably pretty similar. You know, transmutation is a change from one phase to another. And metaphysically speaking, it's the lifting of mind and body from material aspect to spiritual character. And when you and I were discussing, you know, the topic for this show tonight, it's interesting. We decided it, I think, you know, a couple weeks ago, but really this idea of the shadow alchemy has really come into the forefront because it's essentially the war within, isn't it? We perceive the war without, and, you know, from the perspective of the work that we do with the etheric parasite and implant removal, it seems to be really apparent to me that if we really seek to change the world outside of us, it has to begin within. And so ending that war within, ending the war within ourselves with what we perceive to be, you know, the aspects of ourselves that aren't valuable, integrating those and transmuting them in so that we are whole beings. Really, that's what we're seeking to do. And just like we can't, you know, it's sort of like we can't meet the war outside of ourselves until we've met the war inside, really.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that definition, that transmutation or turning something with no value into something with value. That's exactly what we're doing here, you know. It's really finding the aspects that you're ashamed of, the aspects that you don't like of yourself, and turning it into something that's valuable, something that is powerful. And even if it's nothing more than just letting that go, you know, and if you don't like that aspect of yourself, if even it's nothing more than just letting that go so that you don't have to deal with it anymore, it's of value, you know. It taught you what to do. It can help you teach other people how to do it as well. It's healing is healing no matter where it comes from. And if it works for you, you know, it's valid. And that's the bottom line with it.
So let's talk a little bit about... Let's talk a little bit about ourselves, because I think you and I have approached shadow work from a slightly different perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because for me, I know the shadow work that I've done with myself has been primarily about giving myself the time, freedom, and space to learn to love myself without conditions, and recognizing that it doesn't need to happen necessarily with urgency. It needs to happen at the rate at which is most nurturing. And that's really how I've had to approach it. And I think maybe you've approached it a little bit differently, if you'd like to talk about that.
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, I grew up in the Christian church. And, you know, I heard about the Ten Commandments, and, you know, I tried to live by them. I really didn't do a very good job of it. I was always lying. I was always, you know, taking stuff from people. I mean, I never really did anything too big when I was younger, but I never really aligned with the positive aspect of living. And that kind of spiraled downwards. The older I got and the more out there I got into all kinds of drugs. I got into dysfunctional relationships. I got into, you know, all kinds of really dark stuff, and it all came to a head. Like I, actually, it was Bashar. It was Daryl Anka. He channels a being named Bashar, and he teaches all kinds of interesting stuff. And I don't really resonate with a lot of the stuff that he says, but there were some things that really started to wake me up. And one of them was, why do you choose to feel this way? Everything inside of you is a choice. And if you feel nasty, if you feel rotten, if you feel disgusted with yourself, why do you choose to do that? That's an agreement with yourself that you've made to actually allow that to manifest and to take place. And, I mean, that stuck with me for a good 3 or 4 months until one day I finally just asked myself, like, well, how come I'm allowing this? Like, why don't I just stop, you know? It's, I don't want to feel this way. Nobody wants to feel like this. Nobody wants to feel nasty. Nobody wants to feel dark. And people who say that they do, they're just really kind of lying to themselves. They're afraid to accept the fact that they want to be happy, you know? And I was one of those people. And so it was as simple to me as making a decision. I simply stopped feeling that way. I said, why am I doing this to myself? I'm making a prison of my own making, and I'm here behind these bars yelling that I'm in prison and it's everybody else's fault. Why don't I just stop? And so that was actually the day when everything started for me, and I would dive into these negative emotions, and I would sit there and I would really truly feel them. I wouldn't hide from them anymore. And I would just sit there in this anger. I would sit there in this depression. I would sit there in this jealousy and really just let it run its course. And I would sit there and turn an internal eye inside, and I would watch what it would do. I would watch how it would make me react. I would watch how it would make me think and feel. And I would just start cutting it off, cutting pieces off that I didn't want anymore. So, like, whenever I would feel like the uncontrollable anger start to rise up, I would just sit there and I'd definitely make sure that I wouldn't do anything to hurt anybody, but I would be angry. And I wouldn't try to hide from it, and I would watch as it smoldered inside of me, and then I would just stop. I told myself, no, that's not what I want anymore. I want to be happy. And just those simple decisions inside of yourself, you're literally telling your body what you want it to do, and you can start rewiring everything. Neuroplasticity is an amazing thing, and if there's something that you want to do, let me explain neuroplasticity real quick. So the way the brain operates is everything is wired neurologically, and we have pathways inside of our brain that are habits, I guess you could say. So say, for instance, that you've got a really bad habit of picking your nose or something like that, or biting your fingernails, you know, things along those lines. Let's kind of start small here. Those are actually a neurological pathway, and so you'll have some type of an emotional trigger that will get you to actually do these types of things. You might get nervous. You might get, you know, depressed or something like that, and that would trigger you to do these habits. And the way that you actually start to rewire these is you catch yourself in the middle of it and you say, no, that's not what I want to do. And so you actually have to fake it until you make it. And so the whole faking it process, that's simply spinning up new neurological pathways inside your brain. And the make it process is when you actually switch over to the new pathways and you make the other ones inert so that they're no longer there. And so when I would get, like, really angry or really depressed, I would tell myself, no, this is not how I want to feel. And then I would deliberately think of something that made me happy, or I would deliberately think of something that made me feel good. And so by heading off this process like that, I was literally putting up a wall inside of myself that said, no, you aren't allowed to do this anymore. You're making a prison inside yourself that you are just sitting here blaming everybody else that you're inside of. And so you can't do that anymore. And this is what you need to do to stop it. And so it was a system of training myself to pop out of those thought processes. I'd get inside of these negative, dark spiral thought patterns that would just, you know, I'd go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and it would all just get more dark, more depressed, more angry. I had to stop that. You know, it's all about breaking the cycle. It's about doing something new, because you can't ever get something that you've never had unless you do something that you've never done. And the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again without ever trying anything new and thinking that you're going to get a different result. And so that's what I was doing. I was beating my head up against the wall over and over and over again, and it was not working for me. And so when I came across that information, it was like a light turned on inside me. It's like, I don't want to be this anymore. I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being depressed, of being angry, of being jealous, and just an all-around nasty person. Because, I mean, it reflected outward. You know, my kids felt it. My significant other felt it. You know, it was just a constant feedback loop. And knowing what I know now, there was a lot of energetic manifestation that was actually happening too. You know, a lot of entities and etheric implants and parasites and whatnot. But I didn't know that back then. And so it was a process of doing all this internal work and really setting my foot down and saying, no, this isn't okay. This is not what I want. This is not who I am. I need to be who I want to be. And so that's kind of how it all started. And, you know, it all comes down to just what is your will? Like, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? Who do you want to be? Who are you? And you really have to sit down and think about these questions. And, you know, it kind of leads to some really deep internal work. And one of the most powerful questions for me that I asked myself is, what would I do if money didn't exist? And that really started forcing me to look at what I was passionate about, things that I actually wanted to do, things that made me happy, things that made me feel good inside. And that question right there, you know, it was a process that I look back now, and, I mean, it seemed a lot faster in the moment when it was all happening, but I look back now, and it was a steady process, and, I mean, I'm still working on it, you know. It's all about the constant strive to be better than you were the day before. And that's kind of how
we never stop, right? We never stop doing the shadow work. I don't think it really ever ends.
Never.
Yeah. The internal work, I think it never ends. And I'd like to touch on something that you said, because I think it's incredibly important, which is that it takes courage to choose the change. And I think a lot of times what really hitches people up with the shadow work, I mean, I think there's a couple of things, but we get really accustomed to the familiarity of the patterns and programs that we run, the habits of being in a rut of trauma, or the habits of negative emotions. And we can talk about the parasitic influence on that as well. You know, obviously, we understand that the parasitic construct is not creative. It does not create, but it certainly does take advantage of and twist. And so these patterns and programs that we call the shadow, these aspects of self, it really is, like you said, it's a matter of reprogramming. It's a matter of taking the courage to choose what is often, you know, terrifying. I mean, change is terrifying for people. You know, a lot of times I think people will choose the pathological program and habit that they're comfortable with, as opposed to facing the, you know, I think shadow work is terrifying until you start doing it, basically.
Yeah.
And once you begin to do the shadow work, the payoff is so valuable that you don't ever want to stop doing the shadow work. I mean, it really changes you. It's a transmutation from the inside out. And I wanted to ask you, because I know a huge part of my shadow work has been kind of a loving sort of, there's a component for me of honoring the shadow when I do the shadow work, because it's my, in my experience, really what the shadow is asking for is healing and integration. It's asking to be honored. And I know that when I work with clients and I do shadow work, I do a lot of imagery. And one of the images that I really love to use is the idea of the room of shame.
Interesting. Go ahead and explain that one to me. I've never heard that before.
Well, just that there's, you know, it's that there's a room inside of us without windows, with a dirty, you know, sort of like a dirty mattress on the floor, you know, a pillow with no pillowcase, and these aspects of ourselves we put in this room, and we say, and it's really, I think it's because we don't really know what to do. We want to get rid of the shadow aspect, and so we sort of, you know, it's that feeling of like wanting to destroy it. But really, if you can be willing to open the door to the window or to the room of shame, really, and invite those aspects out of that room to sit at your table and to tell you what it is that they not only need, but what they have to offer, because I think the shadow, just like anything else, we have, you know, when we're faced with something difficult, we have two options. We can be in victimhood and we can be in the trauma of it, or we can see it as an opportunity to heal and to grow and remember and try to be more whole. And when we meet the aspects of ourselves that are the shadow aspects, that we, you know, it's scary. It's hard to know exactly what's in that room of shame, especially if you've never opened the door and looked. And I think a lot of people think there's something monstrous in there. There's something absolutely horrible and monstrous. And when you open the door and invite those aspects out, they're really just in an immense amount of pain. And what they're asking for is to be integrated. And when you shove those aspects into the room of shame, they are scheming to sabotage from inside of that room. If you invite them out and you give them a voice, they're no longer scheming. They are in the light of day and can be embraced and healed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's we can pull out something really, really big, you know, like let's say, for instance, somebody who's been raped, you know, like this is something that is incredibly shameful to them. And true healing cannot actually happen until they start bringing it out and talking about it. I know a couple people that this has actually happened to them, and they use it as a source of empowerment now. Instead of something that they have to hide inside of their dirty room of shame, they bring it out. They talk about it. They talk about the feelings of being a victim. They talk about how it made them feel when these things happen, and how much more powerful they are now because they can understand these aspects inside of them and really integrate it in. Because it's not an easy thing to do something like that. And I mean, that's a really big example right there. I mean, you can talk about anything, like you're ashamed of when you were 10 years old, you stole something from your friend, and, you know, that's something that you never really wanted to let them know. And you can, if you're lifelong friends, you still kind of think about that every once in a while, you know? And it's something along those lines that you have to bring those things out, because if you don't bring them out, like you said, they're constantly trying to sabotage their way out, because that's all that's going to happen. Unless you deal with these issues, unless you deal with this shadow side, it's going to constantly keep on popping up until it's finally integrated. And, you know, there's really no other way around it. You can stuff it down as much as you want, but it's going to keep coming back up until you heal it.
And it tends to come back up with more and more and more force. It sort of reminds me, you know, it reminds me of when we refuse to listen to the body when it's asking for something. It will whisper and nudge, and then it will get more and more aggressive until finally it says, okay, fine, we'll get the flu and you'll be in bed for 3 days. And that's, you know, if we have to get that serious with forcing you to rest, if you're not going to listen, then that's what we'll do. And the shadow really does the same thing. I mean, it's not going to stop sabotaging until it's healed and integrated. It just isn't. And, you know, we can really talk about that in terms of, you know, as above, so below, and the microcosm versus the macrocosm. And we're also, you know, when we talk about the shadow aspect of self, of the individual, we can also expand that to the shadow aspect of the collective, and how the parasitic construct really has taken advantage of that.
Yeah. God, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I mean, really, that's what we're looking at all around us, all, you know, that's really what we're seeing playing out, is the shadow, the collective shadow aspect, just absolutely shouting at the top of its lungs to be transmuted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening individually. You know, I haven't really spoken with you about what you're, you know, sort of what's been going on in the current events with your clients. But I often notice that there are general themes that people are dealing with, sort of everyone in an individual way, but you can see the themes. And I love it that we're doing this show tonight, because this transmuting the shadow is exactly what's coming up, as we've had this extreme uptick in cosmic you know, the cosmic light, the vibration raising, we're really bottlenecked with at the shadow work. We have to, you know, you can do all of the other daily protocols and try to avoid the shadow for as long as you can, but it will bottleneck you. And until you face that shadow, you can't move past it. And I think there's quite a few people that are sort of really in a lot of discomfort because that's what they're being asked to do. They're being asked to open the door to the room of shame.
Well, especially
and
with
do the work.
Well, especially with people who are doing the energetic work on that side and they're trying to ignore this. I mean, it's coming up more and more and more because you can do all the energy work in the world that you want, but unless you remove that fertile ground for these things to keep popping up inside of you, they're going to keep popping up inside of you. You know, you have to really, like, they use negative emotions, negative traumas, things along those lines to start really tapping into people, and they'll bring them up regardless. They'll tap into that shadow side, and they will bring it up as artificially. You know, in a natural system, the shadow is supposed to be able to teach us how to become better, how to become much more loving, much more close to the Christ consciousness. And it's something that we can feel inside of us. You know, we have this instinctive right and wrong detector inside of us. And it's something that's supposed to be much, much easier than it is here in this place. And these things, they will tap directly into that. And so if you have unhealed trauma, if you have unhealed things inside of that room of shame that are busting to get out, they will drill a hole right through the wall and they'll start yanking them out. And so you can do all the energetic work in the world that you want, but until you actually start taking care of this stuff internally in the shadow side, there's always room for them to get back in. So, I mean, this is definitely something that I've been seeing popping up more and more as a theme. It's, you know, just people dealing with their fear, people dealing with past stuff that they regret, people dealing with past traumas, people dealing with things that they've done, you know, traumas that they've created, you know, and it's constantly more and more popping up. And, I mean, there's energetic things that you can do, but until you actually dive deep down into this and start transmuting the shadow, literally turning it from something that has no value into something that does have value, they're going to keep popping up, you know, and that's definitely one of the themes that I've been seeing within the past month or so.
Yeah, I love that visual of the parasites drilling a hole through the wall of the room of shame. And that, I mean, that is the truth right there. They've got access to the room of shame, and they will help, you know, that's part of, I mean, that's a huge part of the sabotage, really. I mean, those are the access points for parasitic interference, the programs, patterns, and traumas that we find ourselves stuck in, the unhealed aspects. I mean, those are the easy ways in, certainly.
Yeah.
I just had a thought of where to go, but I've lost it. I'm just checking my notes here. So, you know, I guess maybe we should talk a little bit about specifically, I guess we could talk about it in terms of the parasitic construct. Another thing that we could do, we did, for those of you listening, we also do have a closed group in Facebook that is also titled Unleashing Natural Humanity. And the members of this group are those who have had parasite removal or are interested in having parasite removal. And they did offer us a few topics to cover. And the topics that they offered us in the group really do have to do with specifically parasitic construct in terms of that. So I don't know if we want to talk about some of those questions or if there's somewhere else that you'd like to go. Something else you'd like to talk about in this context?
Well, I'd definitely like to give some tools to help start transmuting the shadow. I've got a few of them I wrote down here so that I could remember them. Have you ever read the book called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz?
I have. It's been a long time, but I have. It's on my bookshelf.
That is one of the best books that you can actually get to start transmuting the shadow. It's not even really going inside the internal work that you need to do. He's got other stuff along those lines. Like, he's got another one called The Mastery of Love. That's a really, really good book to read. But the four agreements are: be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, and always do your best. These are four very, very simple little... Being impeccable with your word, this is key. This is the only thing that really truly is you, is your word, what you say. And if you're going around spreading falsehood, you're literally spreading a negative vibration around, because false is a negative polarity. And you can feel it. Like, once you've been doing the muscle testing for as long as I have, and you can start to feel truth and falsehood, like hot and cold, there's a very distinctive energetic difference. And you can feel it when somebody is lying, because there is a hollowness to it, and it echoes. And so, like, say for instance that somebody makes up a rumor about somebody, you can feel this echo spread out to everybody who hears this rumor. And so if there's other people who are susceptible to spreading stuff around, they'll catch this. It's almost like a virus, and it'll go around and around and around, and all of a sudden you've got all these people making an agreement to, you know, talk negatively about somebody about something that's not true. You know, being impeccable with your word is absolutely key. You have to really stay in your truth. You have to stay with that positive resonance right there. And it's really interesting to see what happens when you stop with the little white lies, how much different your life all of a sudden becomes. And I mean, this is a quick thing. This is like maybe 2-3 weeks, something like that, and you literally notice a magical change in the way that you actually operate inside the reality. It's really, really amazing. Don't take anything personally. So say, for instance, that you run into somebody creating rumors about you. Don't take it personally. You know, like somebody walks up and says, oh, you did this, this, and that. It's like, well, you know I didn't. So, I mean, I really don't care what you say. You know, I mean, it's kind of a harsh thing to say, but it's like, look, you know it's not true. I know it's false. And honestly, your opinion doesn't matter to me. I know who I am, and I know that's not me. So thank you for your opinion, but bye-bye. You know, you really got to stop taking things personally, because this is one of the ways that the parasitic construct actually gets inside of us, is when we start feeling these things that other people are telling us. Like, say that you're in an abusive relationship and this person's just telling you how worthless you are and how awful you are and how you can't do anything right. If you actually start listening to this and agreeing to what they're talking about, you start taking this on, and all of a sudden you start thinking, well, I am worthless. I really can't do anything. And you start manifesting that into reality. You start feeling these negative emotions inside yourself, and that's an amazing foothold for these parasitic constructs to actually get inside. So by letting things roll off your shoulders, you know, just like a water off a duck's back, you know, just let it roll right off. You know, that's one of the best ways that you can actually start to focus more internally, because then you're not taking your input from the outside. You're putting your input inside yourself and manifesting it outward. Don't make assumptions. Always know what you're doing. If something is going on and you don't know what is happening, ask. Find out. Don't sit there and assume that somebody's going to tell you. Don't sit there and assume that something is going to happen, because assumptions are the best way to lead to disappointment. And when you actually start making yourself known, when you speak up for yourself and you figure things out, you know, it's a much better place to be. It makes you much stronger internally. It makes you a lot easier to kind of weave your way through the interactions in life. You know, if you expect something to happen and other people don't know about it, how are they going to know unless you tell them? And all it leads to is disappointment for you. And that's really one of the best things that I've actually come across, is because I used to assume a lot of things. And it always left me feeling lacking. Like, I would be expecting things to happen, and other people had no clue because I never even spoke up, you know. So speak up for yourself. Really make your thoughts and your desires known. And always do your best. If you're doing something, do it to the fullest of your extent. Like, if you are just, you know, kind of half-assing it, what you're doing is you're saying, this is how much I value this. And so if you're doing something that you don't value, what's the point of doing it? You know, if you aren't doing something that you want to do, then don't do something that you want to do. Do something that you're passionate about. But when you're doing something, give it 120%. You know, go all the way. Go all out. And that's one of those four agreements right there. Those were really key for me. And just by, you know, kind of writing those down and putting them on a mirror somewhere, it constantly reminds you of it. It constantly gives you a little bit of an input to really become better than you were the day before. And I absolutely love those four agreements right there. Like when we started talking about doing this show right here, that was one of the first things that came to mind. I definitely hope those help people. And the book is called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. I highly recommend everybody check that out. So that's all I had to add on that.
And I love that too. And something that came up as you were talking is that a lot of times the appropriate protocols or solutions are really simple. You know, we have a tendency to want to make things really complicated and difficult. You know, we have, you know, people will have all these daily, you know, things that we do. It doesn't need to be complicated. And I love it that you've brought up that book because it really simplifies things and makes it easier for people to get started. And really it's getting started. That's what it is. It's getting the momentum going at the beginning, and it will carry. The momentum will carry you as you begin to do this work. And I would add even a couple of little things to that. You know, just trying a new response, quite simply, just trying, you know, you've talked about being observational of the self, and that is just so huge. Just non-judgmental self-awareness. Start noticing, start observing yourself as you trigger and as you fall into an old program of response. Just observe it. And as you non-judgmentally observe, it becomes, you get an objective perspective through that observation. When you're not living inside of the trigger, but you intentionally sort of move outside of it to observe, it gives you an opportunity to then create the possibility of a new response. And I know that's been really helpful for me, just trying something new as far as how I'm responding. And sometimes even the silliest change, you know, just something so tiny and even silly, and humor helps, creates a really different outcome, basically. And another thing that's always been really helpful for me is first thing in the morning to choose the vibration that I want to align with, because there's something about those moments just as we wake up that are kind of a zero point. And it's much easier to choose the vibrational alignment that you want to be in frequency with first thing in the morning. I mean, we can do it any time of the day, obviously, but taking just a few minutes to make a choice with an affirmation or simply thinking of something that you're grateful for or have, you know, that makes you feel joy. And also stop punishing yourself. It doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't help anything to, you know, shame and guilt are as low. Those are the lowest vibrations there are. I mean, that's as low as it gets. So, you know, if every new now moment, every moment is an opportunity to heal, to have objectivity, to shift perspective, and we've got to stop punishing those aspects of ourselves, and rather nurture them in exactly the way that you would if one of your best friends showed up on your doorstep, you know, in tears, disheveled. What would you do? How would you treat that friend that you love, who's a mess? You'd put him to bed.
Yeah.
You'd give him some food. You'd hold space. You certainly wouldn't shame them or punish them for whatever it is that has brought them to tears. The shadow aspect is in pain. It's asking for healing. So self-punishment does not jive with a higher vibrational alignment. And I've recently started doing some toning work again. I used to do it and I stopped. And you know, even just simple things like toning or holding crystals, whatever calls to you, everyone's got something that really resonates for them that's kind of a simple go-to support. And it's a little different for everyone. So, you know, connecting with your inner and higher self and listening to what calls as tools, what resonates as tools. And it should always be about the resonation for the individual. I mean, even what you and I are talking about tonight, there might be somebody who's like, I don't, you know, some of the things we say might not resonate. And if it doesn't resonate with you, then it's not for you. Put it aside and move on to the thing that does, because that's the intuition. That's the heart speaking.
Exactly.
Okay, so it looks like, let's see, let's go to some of those Facebook group questions and see if we can answer a couple. And then to the listeners, we will be opening the phone lines in 15 minutes for anyone who would like to call in as well. I had it pulled up. Sorry, here, let me just get back to it. I'll get better at this whole hosting business as time goes on.
It's all about practice.
It certainly is, which, you know, I think we're doing pretty well for our first official show. Technical difficulties should be faced with humor. Okay, so...
It's the only way to deal with them.
Really, it really is. Okay, so Alyssa from the group has a question. And she's asking, what can we do for a person that we know has an attachment, and I believe she means a parasitic attachment, but isn't interested in facing it? Is there anything that the aware person can do for that other person's higher self for transmutation in general?
That's a tough one. I've ran into this myself. You know, the only thing that you can really do, if you know how to remove entities are fair game. You don't ever want to work inside of a person, but anything connected to them that's outside of the body, those are all fair game. So if you feel something like that and you can remove it, by all means do it. The only other thing that I can really think of is you just have to shine. You have to shine as bright as you can, and, you know, you might drop a few hints about some things, and people might tell you that they think you're crazy and they want nothing to do with it. That's fine. You know, they obviously don't resonate with it. They're not ready for it right then. But you can't discount the value of planting a seed, because there's no telling when that seed is going to just bloom into fruition. It might even be overnight. And, you know, the thing about it is we can't beat a dead horse. You know, we have to move on. We have to just lead by example. And when we actually turn on the light inside of us and we shine it as bright as we possibly can, and we meet every situation in a loving, compassionate manner, you know, it shows. It resonates with people. They might not want to really agree with it, and they might try to, you know, fight internally saying, you know, like they don't want anything to do with it. But it resonates with everybody. And that's the only thing that you can really do for people like that, because, you know, think about it. You know, how long ago was it before you woke up? And you might not have, I take these things out of people now. And 5 years ago, I would have called you crazy if you told me about this. And so, you know, it's all about the line of progression. And everybody is waking up on this planet, and we have to hold space for them and allow them to do that, because you can't force anybody to drink the water. You know, you have to let them drink it themselves. And that's really the only thing that I've got. Hopefully you have something better.
No, it's really along the same lines. I totally agree. And this really, I mean, we could extend this. I've heard people talk. I've actually worked with a lot of people who have this feeling just about ascension in general, which is they are so desperate to wake the people up around them that they love. But what we have to recognize is that we have to honor the individual path. And like you said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. And people really can only be where they're at, right? They can only be where they're at. So like you said, be the lighthouse. And that really is the best way to go, because when we try to force someone to do something that they are not yet ready for or resonant with, it can kind of do the opposite, I think, of what we intend for it to do. So just be the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Shine your light, and people really will start, especially if you're gentle and you aren't trying to shove truth down their throat as you see it, they will eventually go, you know, there's something about you, and I want some of that. What is that that you've got? I want some. And then at that point, when someone comes to you and is seeking assistance, you can offer them what you have. But I think we've all had the experience of trying to hurry a loved one along their path faster than they're ready to walk. And everyone really does have sort of, you know, an individual, time is irrelevant, you know, we're all getting there. We're all getting there eventually. And so, yeah, I think I just generally agree with what you said. Let's see here. This might be a somewhat similar question, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Lemurian Sparkle is asking, how to transmute the shadow from a vulnerable subconscious mind, which has been abused since it was in the womb. Well, and this is interesting too, because I think we didn't really cover this, but we come in, you know, we're multidimensional beings who, I don't think any of us really know the details about it, nor do we need to, but we definitely live other lives. And I think we do bring some of the things from other lives into our current incarnations for healing. And so it can begin from before the womb. And then continuing to read, thereafter, the vibration has continued to attract abuse in the person's life in various guises, mental, emotional, and physical abuse, poverty, lack, etc. And then leads to a huge lack of confidence, lack of empowerment, low self-esteem, etc., and a vicious circle, which is difficult to shift due to unknown imprinting on either within the womb or possibly past life. Okay, so they cover it. And so I think that what this is describing is the shadow. This is the shadow. I mean, this is an exact, I mean, really, this is what this is describing is exactly what the shadow is. So I would say, I wouldn't approach this any differently than any other shadow work, which is to open the door to the room of shame and invite those traumatized aspects out, to sit in a sunny room with flowers on the table and hold that shadow aspect's hands in yours and invite it to tell you what it has to say. Because at least for me, it's always been quite surprising what the shadow has had to say to me. You know, you expect, I mean, I think what we expect is something monstrous, but what we find is something generally sort of innocent and childlike that's really just seeking to be healed and integrated. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. Well, it sounded like there was some external trauma going on as well. We can end up having attachments to people, like very parasitic, codependent relationships. And it could be, you know, friends, family, loved ones. It really doesn't matter where we get these from. And they can turn into really degenerative relationships where there's a constant influx of negative energy going both directions. And Sierra, actually, she's a Theta healer, the love of my life. And she has an amazing meditation for this that I started actually utilizing, and it's been phenomenal for me. It's been phenomenal for my clients. So what's going on with this whole meditation right here is you just kind of go and close your eyes and take a few deep breaths, and you imagine yourself in a field, you know, trees, rocks, whatever you want. It really doesn't matter, just as long as you're in an open space. and then you see in front of you a construct, an energetic construct of the person that caused the trauma or the person that you're traumatizing, and you check out the actual connection in between you two. And most often, it's right between heart space to heart space. And you can visualize this any way you want, like a line of energy, a rope. You know, it doesn't matter as long as you see it. And what you do is you turn on the gold light inside your chest, and you make it as bright as you can, and you start dissolving that connection from your chest out to them. And then you heal both aspects where you had that wound, and you tell them, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And even if you don't know where the trauma came from, you can make a shadow person. You can make a clay figure of the trauma and what it represents and the connection that it has to you. And so you can actually separate yourself from that. You can heal yourself. You can heal the other people from those connections right there. And that whole Ho'oponopono, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, is one of the most powerful things that you can ever do. The way that it actually works is their whole philosophy is that whatever is going on outside that is happening to them, it's a reflection of what's happening inside of them and what they're projecting outwards. And so, like, their whole thing is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And it's just a complete and total bearing of vulnerability, of surrender, and just absolute love. And it's really, really powerful. And so that's definitely something that I could highly recommend right there.
I can't recommend the Ho'oponopono enough. It's absolutely complete, and it's simple. It's mm-hmm. simple, and it's complete. And I agree with you. It's absolutely transformative. In fact, I challenge anyone to say the Ho'oponopono out loud in a situation where you're arguing with someone, and I challenge someone to have it not be transformative, because it absolutely is. It always is. That's beautiful.
Every single time.
I love that.
Every single time. Oh yeah.
It really is.
Really powerful meditation.
Between that and what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. We cover a lot of bases there with that one. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Ciara, for sharing that with us.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. She should call in and chat with us. We don't have any callers yet, so just to let everyone know, we're about to be opening the phone lines. So if anyone has any live questions or would like to enter the discussion, even if you don't have a question and you just like to get in on the chat, please do call in. And I guess I should probably give the number. The guest call-in phone number is 619-924-9805. So please do call in. Let's go back to another question here from our group. And Teresa would like to know, how to transmute duality or the habit and thought train of it? How do we transmute what is needed to step outside of this matrix or to jump timelines? Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
How to transmute duality.
Well, yeah, we could talk another hour about this. Oh, geez. Transmuting duality. So that's pretty much kind of what we've been talking about here this whole entire time. What we need to recognize is that the yin and the yang polarities, the light, the dark, the positive, the negative, they aren't separate. They're two sides of the same coin. And by understanding this, you can actually realize how everything, like one of the most powerful representations of this that I had in my life was when I actually got into massage school. I'd been in martial arts since I was about 5, and I was very familiar with, like, the martial aspect of it, with fighting, with, you know, defending yourself, with what you can do with your body to, you know, hurt people. That's pretty much all it is for. It's defending yourself and learning how to hurt other people. And so I thought that was completely and totally by itself. And when I got into massage, it absolutely blew my mind that the similarities between hurting people and healing people, they're literally two sides of the same coin. And the understanding that I had of the body in the martial arts aspect, it blew doors wide open for me in being able to heal people. And it was one of the most powerful realizations that I actually had when I started doing all the shadow work, to recognize that, you know, the light and the dark, that's just two sides of the same coin. It's just that this isn't a natural system. The dark is way overbalanced. It's like weighted dice. It's always going to show, you know, whatever it's weighted down to show, unless you're actively weighting down the other side. And there's a beautiful Native American story about how there's two wolves inside of us. There's the light wolf and there's the dark wolf. And, you know, they ask the question, well, which one's going to win? It's, well, whichever one you feed. You know, so that's what you have to start doing, is you have to start feeding the light side inside of you, because the dark here in this planet is just so overbalanced. It's just absolutely crazy what we have to actually go through in order to get to the point where we're in center, where we're in the middle between these two dualities, and we can recognize the neutral point. And once you're in the neutral point, you literally start stepping outside of time. That's when you can choose your own reality. That's when you can choose your own timeline. And you you have to start off small. Like one of my favorite things to do is to create a nonstop path from where I'm at to where I'm going in my car. You know, I hit every light green or stuff like that. And by sitting inside the center, inside of this duality point right in the middle, you know, stepping through the shadow and coming out the other side, it's really just incredibly powerful. And once you start doing that, you can start small and recognize your power. It's not something that is just all in your head. It's something that you are actively doing to create the reality around you. And when you start off small, you start recognizing, like, oh, I do have this muscle. Like, I can actually start working this muscle out. And you can really start doing some amazing stuff with it. Like, there was a one time where I actually went back in time about a half hour, because I was under massive attack. That was like when I first started coming out with this information, when me and Lynn were working together. And the first couple radio shows I did, and when I was doing all kinds of sessions, I was under like really heavy scrutiny. It was pretty incredible. And I got attacked one night, and I felt really awful from it. And I got my way through it, and I started clearing things out. And then about three or four nights later, I was actually over at a friend's house, and I could see a really nasty entity hooked into him. And I started doing some massage on him because his back was messed up, and I felt something jump into me. And I just, you know, stuck it in the corner, and I waited until I was away from there so that I could start doing it. But, like, they put, like, a kind of a beacon on me, I guess you could say. And I got, like, under this massive attack that night, and like, it was just the craziest thing, because I recognized, I was like, you know what? This only has power over me if I let it. So they might be doing some crazy stuff inside my body. They might be doing some crazy stuff outside my body. That does not matter. This only has power over me if I let it. And you know what? I'm going to go find my zero point. I'm going to find my center. And so I found my center, and like, I ordered a salad at the place across the street from my massage office. And when I went to go to my friend's house, I was actually dropping off some, jackfruits, jackfruit plants. And so we were trading, I had ice cream beans, he had jackfruit plants, so we were trading those, and that's how I ended up going over there anyway. And so I was going to pick up the salad on the way back, and it was 8:05 when I left, and my kids were actually going to be going to bed at 8:30. And so I remember I was getting upset that I wasn't going to be able to make it back to give him, you know, kiss him goodnight and whatnot. And, like, it was the craziest thing, because I ended up taking a wrong turn, and I ended up getting stuck at a whole bunch of red lights. And it was 8:45 or something like that when all this happened. And so when I got into the zero point, I literally shut this all down. And I guess it was the wanting to be able to give my kids a kiss goodnight that actually took me back in time. And I got to the place where I picked up my salad, and it was interesting because I'd ordered like 500-600 of these from this place before, and they couldn't find my information. They had the order, but they didn't have my information. All their electronics were going all nutty, and like, phones stopped working and stuff like that. And then like, they started putting my information in again, and then all of a sudden my information came back up. And I mean, just really, really weird stuff that was going on. And so I got my salad, I got out of there, and I got into my car, and I turned it on, and it was 8:10. And so, like, it was really interesting by stepping into this zero point and recognizing, like, no, there is no power over me. You cannot do this to me unless I actually allow it. And just by stepping into that so strongly that night, and then with the wanting to be able to give my kids a kiss goodnight, I literally stepped back inside of time about a half hour. And it was just like one of the most powerful recognitions for me to actually understand that, hey, you know, this is all a real, it's all just a construct. This is all a holographic construct. Time is not linear. Time is whatever you make it. And ever since then, things have been very, very clear with the way that I actually interact with reality. I can put my will up against the reality construct around me, and I can push, and things move now. You know, and it's as simple as actually just doing it, recognizing that we are strong enough to do this, and just doing it. You know, it's one of those things, you know, like what happens when you sneeze? You feel like a tickle, an itch, and then you sneeze. You don't think about it, you just do it. It's something that automatically happens. And until you actually put yourself into that situation to where you do it, you don't. You follow along with what's been told to you. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, I mean, we are so powerful that the parasitic construct has had to set up multiple layers of who knows what with contingencies in order to keep us from recognizing what you just described. And every single individual is capable of reaching what you've just described. And as you've said, it's literally as easy as recognizing how powerful we are as co-creators, because that's exactly, I mean, really, that's what we are. We're creator beings, and our creative power has been and is being sort of used. It's being used in ways that we're not conscious of, but it's as simple as taking back control over that creative power that literally changes reality around us. So that's amazing that you've moved time. So have you been able to do that intentionally since, or was it sort of a fluke that you're still working out?
So it's really interesting. I haven't been able to do it intentionally. I haven't been able to say this is what I want to do and then do it. It's always with an urgency. It's always with a need to do it. It's like using a power that, like, you know, why would you go, if you had the ability to heal cancer from somebody, why would you walk up to somebody who doesn't have cancer and heal them? You know, like, it doesn't make sense. It's something that you would need to do in the moment. And it's really interesting. So far, I've only been able to do it when I've been late with my kids for school.
I definitely have a lot of time anomalies, for sure, and I think I always have. I've never quite jived with linear time, so I mean, I feel like my whole life has been a series of time anomalies, but I have yet to... ...try to call in a few times. Am I there? So we've had someone try to call in a few times, and they've hung up. So caller with... area code 111. If you call back in, we'll get you. Oh, there they are. Okay. I'm going to put them right on the air. Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Aubrey.
Hi, Aubrey.
Turn this computer off so I don't have double feedback.
Is this Aubrey, Aubrey that we know? Aubrey, hi.
Yeah. Yep. Aubrey Hart. Here I am.
Oh, hi, Aubrey.
Can you hear me?
How are you
okay?
doing?
I'm good.
Welcome from Peru this evening.
Yeah, the energy is great here.
Always
fantastic. Here. Do you have a question or something that you'd like to add to the discussion, Aubrey?
No, I was kind of missing what you guys were just talking about because I was trying to call in. So I'm not exactly sure what page you're on at this moment, but I had a few notes that I wanted to just add in because what you're saying earlier was really resonating with a bunch of stuff that I'm going through.
Yes, please.
By all means, let us know.
The first thing I wanted to mention, Eric, you talked about rape and like how that construct feels and stuff. And I just wanted to add in my perspective with that because I've actually experienced sexual assault before, and I'm pretty honest about it with people in my life, even random people that I meet. And being honest about it really takes people by surprise a lot of the time. And it's actually like a healing aspect to be able to talk about it, not only for me, but for other people, because I think it's something that happens with a lot of females and males, especially down here in Peru. I'm experiencing, like realizing that there's a huge sexual violence continuum down here. So it's just something that a lot of people don't talk about, that kind of plagues us in general. So I think talking about those kinds of things that people don't feel like they have permission to feel is really important. I think by talking about it, by owning it, it gives other people permission to do the same thing and to feel okay with those experiences.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting how people are like, wow, you're actually talking about that. Like, good for you. And then that empowers me to do it some more, and it empowers like discussion about it, which is really what needs to be had in regards to sexual assault and these lower vibrational things. We just need to talk about them. I'm finding that language is really important, which leads me to what you said also about being impeccable with your words and being honest. I think that's really important with not only others, but yourself too. I'm finding that, and the way I do it, the way I personally do it, is through writing. I'm finding that my writing is extremely, extremely powerful as I'm like looking through my journal here. I think writing is super overrated in our society, but it really shouldn't be. Today I put together this entire web of my shadow self. I was like sitting in class and I was completely bored in class, and I'm like, okay, I need to figure out what's going on with me here. I was like trying to find the root of my perfectionism. I ended up just putting together this whole web of different themes in my life, because I was aware of the different themes, but I've never seen them all together in one big conglomeration. So I ended up, I'll have to send it to you in a message later, because I'm really proud of it. But it's just like this whole different web of all these different themes, and now I have this beautiful picture of my shadow self, and I'm aware, like I can be aware of it when it pops up and try and heal some of those things. And it actually, the way I did it was, so I kind of have this telepathy with spiders. I keep finding spiders, and I'll wake up in the morning and it'll be like, spider. And then I'll find a spider. And so I'm like, I hate spiders. So I'm like, okay, why are they coming around, you know? And so I ended up looking them up and what they meant. And I was guided to relate the spider to my shadow self, and how I was reacting to spiders is basically how I was reacting to my shadow self and all these emotions that were ugly and I didn't want to look at them. So then I think, Beth, was it you that gave me that chart a while back that I sent you?
Oh, yes.
With the physical problem?
Yeah, the website is Our Spiritual Nutrition, for anyone who wants to go look that up. And it's got a really great chart that, similar to, you know, Louise Hay's chart of metaphysical sort of correlations to issues, basically. It's sort of similar to that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I've been experiencing a bunch of things like hair loss, headaches, acne. I have like a skin picking problem, and that's the main thing that was bothering me. So I ended up writing all these different physical manifestations down that I could physically see in myself, and then writing down the spiritual or emotional, what am I trying to say?
Correlation.
Correlations between the two. And it ended up like they all pretty much come out the same in relation to my themes. I have lots of guilt, lots of shame, embarrassment. And I know where those things come from, but I don't know if it matters so much as, I think Nicole told me the response
to it and how I transmute them, which you guys were touching on. But then I ended up putting all those different themes together in a web, like following the spider pattern. And it turned out really beautiful, and I'm really proud of it. I'm still kind of working on what I'm going to do with it next, but I'm really finding that manifesting what I'm going through in writing is a really powerful way for me to heal and manifest things too. So I had one day where I was like, I'm going to learn my astrology chart. I don't understand why entities are attacking me. And I also, I speak Spanish. So I really want to, my goal is to translate energy work into Spanish. And I was like, I don't have anyone to speak about this to in Spanish. Literally the next day I went to like found a place to go get my astrology chart done. I got attacked by entities outside of myself, which never had happened to me before. And I met a friend who is into metaphysical stuff to translate into Spanish. So I think really it's a way to concrete my healing. And
yeah, I love the idea that you've made a diagram. So it gets it out of your head sort of and it gives you a way to really substantially look and see where the connections are. And whether that's through drawing a diagram or writing, I think that's incredibly useful to get it outside of yourself, to put it in a place where you can, you know, go away, come back and look. And I would imagine that over time you'll make many connections that, you know, it'll continue to grow. I would imagine you'll see more and more as time goes on.
I don't think that it just applies to writing either, too. I mean, I think that's why they say that art is so important, just creating things, because I think we came here to have a physical experience, no matter where we came from or, like, what we were doing or what we're doing in other places at this time. We're here right now to create, and so I really think that whether it's writing, photography, whatever, you can really make connections with your emotion. Like all this is the stuff that you're feeling, it really has to be funneled. We're like required to funnel it through the physical. And so we really need an outlet in order to do those things, in order to observe ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I really can't overstate the power of writing. There's been a lot of healing that I've done through my own writing, and like, I won't even know what I'll be getting ready to write. I'll just start writing, and it's really a powerful thing, because when you start externalizing what's happening internally, you can step back from it and you can look at it and you can reread it and you can really put it into perspective, and it's almost like you're teaching yourself what you need to work on. And it's truly a powerful, powerful thing to externalize it and actually put it down into something that you can go back and look at later. Because when we start going through different things, when we're doing the shadow work, you can always go back and reread these things, and you can gain a different perspective from it, because you're not in the same place that you were when you wrote it, even just a week later. And it can constantly teach you how you react, how you see things, where the connections are, and it's absolutely incredibly powerful. I highly, highly recommend anybody who's got some internal stuff going on to just sit down with a piece of paper or sit down with a blank Word document and just start typing, start writing. And it really leads you to where you need to go, because you'll start thinking about things and then you just write it down, and that'll lead you to the next thing, to the next thing, and to the next thing until you're done with whatever you're doing right there then in that point. And it's really a powerful, powerful thing to be able to put it onto externalized media that's not just internal, because then it is external and you can really figure out where these connections are. Like, you did something that I've never done before. You made a web of it all and how all of those connect in. And I actually think I'm going to try to do that. It sounds really, really transmutational to actually put it like that and see where all these connections line up together. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely beautiful.
I'm really glad I found a newfound love for spiders, I think.
Spiders are amazing. They're superheroes. I've never understood why people didn't like spiders, especially little jumping spiders that are so interactive.
They're so creepy.
I end up with spiders all over in my house, because if it's cold outside, I won't put them out. So I don't have any other bugs in my house as a result. Yeah, they're amazing. Superheroes.
Yeah,
spiders are.
I think something else you mentioned, Eric, was typing, and that's another thing that's been extremely important to me. I highly urge anyone who's listening to find some people that you resonate, or even what you were saying with the field meditation, that can really, letting go of some of those connections can really make space for other people that you resonate with to come in and connect with. I have friends that I've met in the group. I've never even met them, but I resonate with some of them better than like actual people that I've met in my real life. They've helped me piece together different things. Even today, I sent this web to like 3 or 4 different people, and every single person had something else to add and like some next stuff for the next step for me. And it just like all ends up connecting. And it's really beautiful because I can be like, oh, someone from Texas, or someone like Beth. And then I can talk to Eric, and then, you know, like I can talk to my friends in real life and like help them out too. And it just like ends up connecting. So if you can really find some people that you resonate with, or make space for these people, in order to help you out, like it's really an organic collective process at all as well. Like I wouldn't recommend trying to do healing completely on your own, because it really is a collective process. You just have to figure out who you resonate with, and it doesn't matter if they're like a hemisphere away. I'm in Peru by myself, and I just met somebody who speaks about metaphysical stuff, but I've done the majority of my growth down here by myself, but not really by myself, because I've been talking to all these people, and talking to them on the internet is like, or through typing or whatever, it really just lets me see what I'm going through. Or even I'll respond to people in the group, and I'll be like, I'll step back from my response and be like, wow, where did you come up with that? Like my higher self really funnels itself through writing and communicating with other people. So I urge other people to try that, at least, like get over the fear of
there's huge benefit in willingness to be vulnerable. And
yeah.
And I think it's really scary for a lot of people. I'm someone who is just open and hard on my sleeve, but I know that a willingness to, I mean, like you say, you've made this diagram of the shadow connections, and you've sent that to people. That's an incredibly vulnerable action, and there's incredible power in a willingness to be vulnerable, because, like you say, we are really a collective, and as we reach out and touch in with each other, our higher and inner selves speak together and through each other as well. And I agree with that. I mean, some of the most important people in my life I've never met through connecting over the interwebs.
It's a beautiful thing. It can get kind of you can get kind of lost on the internet too, but that's where I think discernment comes in. I had someone else in the group had talked about feeling deceived at one point by someone, and I recently just went through this. Someone I trusted very much kind of hadn't been dealing with some inner stuff, and basically just freaked out at me, and I really had to work on not taking it personally. One of the four agreements that Eric was talking about, I really had to not take it personally and step back and honor the fact that like she resonated with me for a certain amount of time, and it was okay that I was vulnerable with her. Like she can't do anything with the information that I gave her, and whatever she was, the behavior that she was showing me was really not a reflection of myself. It was a reflection of what she was going through. And I really have a lot of compassion for that, because she's going through some heavy stuff, but it's hard when you're dealing with, I think, internet relationships and feeling vulnerable, because you don't know who's on the other side, but at the same time, it's just like that could be positive or negative, and whatever it is, it's a lesson. So
it's really interesting how much healing can be manifested when you're doing it with other people. I always liken everything back to massage. I really do. You can do self-massage. You can work on yourself. You can find the areas inside your body that are tense and tight and are pulling you out of alignment, and you can work on these by yourself. You can do that, and it's a very possible thing to do it. It's never as truly effective as when you are vulnerable on the table, allowing somebody else to do it for you, to do, you know, the work on the outside and helping you from the inside. You know, it's one of those things that you can do it on your own, but it's always more effective when you have somebody else with you doing it.
Yep. I agree with that. I think I really enjoy you guys and a few other people, not only because you assist me when I mean, there's times where I'm having a complete meltdown and I just really need someone else to, like, take a look because I'm so bogged down with different things. I've consented to these different things to get a hold of me, I guess. You don't make me feel ashamed of it. But also when you know that I can do it, you empower me to do so and you encourage me to do it. And you're not leaving me alone, but you're like holding my hand, but you're not, it's like driver's ed. You wouldn't drive the car for me, but you wouldn't let me crash either because you're also in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. And I so appreciate you. And I think that, some of the things that you say are just like really straight from higher self, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're awesome, Autumn.
I'm actually surprised it's coming out because I was kind of nervous.
What's
that?
Oh, I was just, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that's all about the internal growth. You know, you have to put yourself into a situation to where you have to do something that you're not comfortable with. And that's what you're doing right here. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's all about facing fear, isn't it? It's all about stepping right up and looking it right in the face and saying, okay, let's have a look. Let's really get into this and have a nice long chat and get into the depths of it. Yeah,
I don't think
true.
I even thought about it when I was trying to, like, call in. I was like, I just want to get on the phone. And then it wasn't working. And
then I
started being nervous. But now I'm okay.
I'm so glad that you called in. Thank you so much for
your
contribution. And please do send me the web diagram. I want to see that.
Yeah, I might upload it to the group because I had to log in quick to Facebook and it reactivated my account. So I might just post it on the group for everyone to see and then deactivate again.
whatever makes you feel comfortable, my dear. Yeah, I'd love to see it though. Okay, well, we'll talk to you soon. I'm going to go ahead and hang up now. So we're coming down to a minute left in the show. And I just wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit about what our next week's show will be. So next Wednesday at this time, we are going to be discussing the energy body. So we'll be talking about the energy flow in the body through the meridians, the auric body, and how to transmit your own energy for healing purposes. And we will also be covering the 7-color chakra system and its natural evolution towards integration. And anything else that you'd like to add about that, Eric, just before we go off? And a quick thank you to everyone for listening tonight as well.
No, I think you covered everything right there. Pretty much we'll get into it when we get on the show next week.
Okay, perfect. And what fun. I've so enjoyed this. We're going to have a lot of fun with these weekly shows. And if anyone has any topics that they'd like to have discussed, please feel free to send us messages. And have a wonderful evening, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are we on the air still?
Yeah. No, we're not. The recording has ended.
That was an awesome show.
Really good. I'm so chuffed. I didn't feel nervous at all this week, so it was more just like a conversation, which is how I imagined it should be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good stuff. I really...